Welcome to our Friday Five Live podcast hosted by Meg Foster. Meg has spent 20 years in higher education focused on student success initiatives and working in areas such as orientation, faculty development, online learning, student leadership, and first-year initiatives.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Friday. So excited to get to have this conversation with you today, July 19th. We're quickly clicking away towards the start of the fall semester, which is hard to believe, and delighted that Bobby Meyer was kind enough to accept the invitation when I sent her an email. And I was like, hey, there is this really cool article in Community College Daily about her good work. And she said, well, sure, I will join you. And so, Bobby, thank you so much for spending some of your Friday with us. We're really grateful and excited to learn from you. So we're here to talk about the power of 7-week courses. Bobby and I were discussing before we started recording that we're both at Achieving the Dream institutions, and there has been a lot of discussion about transitioning to this format, which is really, and I promise Bobby, she doesn't have to be the sole expert here. It looks like there are a couple of other folks from community colleges, one who's teaching online 7-week classes as well. So don't worry, we don't have to be the expert, but I know you've got a lot of great information to share with us today. So as Melissa said, just a reminder to everyone, please do use the chat to let us know where you're listening from. Put your questions in there. As always, I've created some questions to guide our conversation, but we'd love to hear from our audience as well. So just make sure you select the everyone option there so we can all see your questions. And Bobby, don't you worry about the questions, because I'll monitor those. That's my job to do. So let's see if I can get my slides to move. That would be helpful. So just as a reminder, this is a podcast, lots of different ways that you can share it with your team if they're not able to join us today. We do think that it pairs nicely with a good walk around campus or a cup of tea, in my personal opinion. So wonderful picture here, Bobby. So Bobby is joining us today from Chattanooga State Community College, where, bless her, not only does she teach anatomy and physiology classes, she is also a newly designated department chair for science. So we will all spend a moment and send you all the good vibes for that. You know, and as I mentioned, there was that Community College Daily article talking about this work that Bobby's done in transitioning her A&P classes to 7-week courses, and some real initially, I think, very impressive statistics as far as the success outcomes go. I think many of us who work in any kind of capacity in community college, I spent a lot of time doing advising in that space, teaching FYE courses, recognize how challenging A&P courses are, but also how important they are, right, as we get our students moving. So Bobby, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So as I promised Bobby, we would have questions to guide our conversation, and that she doesn't have to be the sole expert out there. So I did ask Bobby if she would just share with us a little bit about, you know, kind of Chattanooga State, just enough to kind of get us a feel for the institution, and then also sharing some of the reasons why you've made this transition to a 7-week course format. Is it for all the courses, some of the classes? So
Chattanooga State is one of those, is part of the TBR system, the Tennessee Board of Regents system of community colleges. And so I'm part of the math and sciences. We kind of feed into different programs, and with anatomy and physiology, we feed into the nursing and the allied health mainly. And so nursing, respiratory care, rad tech, all of those. They actually have a new program, medical technology, laboratory technologist. And so we're feeding into that particular program as well. So, I can't really give you numbers or anything like that, but we had, quite a large number of students. Of course, that has gone down since COVID. That a lot with community colleges. The reason why Chattanooga State was transitioning with some of this 7-week course was because they looked into the Achieving the Dream college network, and they were interested in increasing the success rates. And so we use Amarillo College as our model.
Mm-hmm.
And they emphasized that students were able to focus on just a few courses that they would be taking concurrently. So they wouldn't be taking so many courses at once. And then because it's a shorter time, you can kind of hold on to them to the end of the course. And you don't have all of these life challenges, and that makes them drop out, mm-hmm. especially after the midterm. And so we don't have all of our courses converted, especially with AMP. We're kind of a commuter college.
Mm-hmm.
So we have students that are working full time, and or, you know, they're on third shift. There is just no way that they could do all of their courses 7 weeks. So we offer both 15-week AMP and 7-week AMP. And it's, you know, when they started this, decided this back in 2020, I was the one that volunteered to convert a 15-week AMP to a 7-week
mm-hmm.
AMP two course. So, yes.
Well, and given your bravery that, you know, your first, you were talking about a teaching role where you got hired thinking you were teaching biology and it was surprise, create curriculum for AMP one, two and microbiology. So you were like, sure, I can take this 15 with my hands tied behind my back and blindfolded. No big deal. So you all began this work in that COVID year, it sounds like?
Actually, I started fall of 2021.
Okay.
And so the one thing I knew, you know, with your second question with challenges, is that I couldn't teach this like a 15-week. There was no way. Typically, our 15-week lecture and lab are separate. Teaching load is three lectures and three labs, but it's set up that we would have three lectures and those students would be in five labs. So that meant that's two labs someone else is teaching.
Okay.
And the lectures would be up to 48 students. And it is almost impossible to learn everybody's name mm-hmm. and to get to know your students when you have that many students. So basically I said, well, these are my stipulations. If I'm going to do a 7-week, this is my stipulations. It's like, it has to be an integrated lecture and lab. I want them both together. We're doing both lecture and lab at the same time. I want only 24 students. So it's a cohort. They're going to be working together. It has to be in a lab room. And I want separate lecture room and separate lab room. I want it in the lab room so that when I am going over something and I see that a student just doesn't understand the flow through the heart, I know that there's going to be, you know, 5-10 other students that don't understand. Mm-hmm. They're not speaking up. So I'm going to stop. I'm going to pull down those models and we're just going to go through that heart and go through mm-hmm. the flow plan. So I wanted that flexibility. The basics are, you know, the content is exactly the same between 7-week, 15-week online. So we cover exactly, we made sure before we even started, everything was the same. Mm-hmm. And pretty much all of them have 70% is three unit exams and a comprehensive final exam. So that 25 is where it's what the instructor can do.
Mm-hmm.
So what I knew is that I had to do more of a modified flipped classroom.
Mm.
And with that, I've made my lecture videos that they can access that from day one. All of them are up there. I have students that want to go back over, you know, a lecture, and that gives them that flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Go back over multiple times and ask questions about it. So in class, it's everything hands-on as much as possible. And so we're doing activities, we're, you know, measuring hematocrits, we're doing blood pressure, we're doing dissections, we're going through case studies. I organized it as team-based learning. So they're in groups and they are working on lab assignments together. I really encourage them to do that. Their assessments, I wanted an assessment every day. And most every day, except after a unit exam, they are group quizzes. So they're working together. And the big challenge on that, I wanted to make sure they had immediate or at least timely feedback on those assessments. So I had found some their immediate feedback cards. They're really kind of scratch offs. And so basically they can work at their own pace in their group. So it doesn't have to be the entire class. And if they miss a question, they have an opportunity to get partial credit. So it's set up that they immediately know what they got wrong. They know what their weekend, that what they need to go back over. Plus, at the same time, I know what they're weak. Mm-hmm. And so I can look at this and I said, I need to get back up on the board. And then I'm going to give them a mini lecture on hydrophobic and hydrophilic hormones and just put it out. Okay, you know, how does the hormones get transported in the blood and all this? Because I can see from the quiz or the assessments that they're weak on that. And mm-hmm. so go back over it. It helps me pinpoint what they're not getting.
Mm-hmm.
And I use mini lectures instead of full-blown, you know, talking all day. Mm-hmm. I have those already pre-recorded so that they can access that.
So when you talk about, it's clearly so very grounded in like active learning principles and I'm also thinking about, you know, a lot of the kind of best practices and making sure students have connection and belonging. And so are they in the same teams then for the whole 7 weeks when they're okay?
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry, Bobby.
I was going to say that they get, when they come in, they can pick their groups. It's very rare that I might, move somebody, especially if somebody comes in and they want to sit by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's
not going to do that. We're not doing that.
So, get them in a compatible group. And they tend to do just very well with that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the high points that I had was we were doing a very hard assessment quiz. And one group, they already had some background education and everything. Okay. So they were able to zip through it. And the other groups were kind of struggling with those questions, made them really think on that. And so, you know, that the group that finished came up to me and says, can we help the others?
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so what they did is they split up and we had one person in each of those other groups. And instead, they weren't giving them the answers, but they were leading them to what the correct answers were.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that. It was just, it's great for any teacher to see that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you talk about really moving towards a cohort model. It sounds like now, is that just for a kind of explain how that might work with your, so is it just for the anatomy and physiology? Will that cohort stay together for other classes, or I'm curious.
That would be great. But right now it's just, that's what I did for AMP2.
Okay.
I knew that I had to change it from that, from the way that, that the 15 week,
mm-hmm.
with 48 students, you can't keep track of them. You don't know, you know, all of the good students and you know, all the poor students, and you know, the students who come early and you know, the students who come late.
Right.
Anyone that is in the middle, it's very hard to keep track of them. And so with 24, it's very easy to keep track.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You can learn their names, you know, first day, and calling, you know, them by names, because I think that's really important to make that connection with them, and that they make a connection with who's on their table. And so I tell them, you know, share what you feel comfortable about sharing. We have situations that, since we have a quiz every day, there's sometimes, you know, if it's raining in Chattanooga, there's going to be an accident
mm-hmm.
on the highway. And so that means I'm going to have students stuck in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So they can text their group and they come to me and they say, hey, you know, such and such can't get here. They just wanted to let you know they're stuck in traffic. And I said, that's fine. We're going to rearrange it. We're going to wait. And so we do something else until they come. It makes it nice that they feel like they're part of that group. They're part mm-hmm. of that. We're looking out for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, you know, a student. And if you don't come, well, that's, you know,
right.
Yeah.
Right. That you're isolated in that experience. And so how often do your classes meet if you're a 7 week, I mean, you're, I guess a four credit course or.
Four days a week.
Okay.
For 2 hours and 50 minutes. I try and make that as active as possible.
Sounds like.
So hands-on as much as possible. Very, very, I like things very organized. So everything is planned out. I had to have that all planned out before I started my first semester.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, we've had some questions that are good ones. So I'm going to start with Donna's here. What percentage of the grade is individual versus group earned? And if in that exam, is it a proctored exam?
Yes. So 75%, absolutely. Those are all the proctored big exams. So mm-hmm. those are the three unit exams and then the comprehensive final. Then we have another 15% I made as the quizzes. And so with the quizzes, there is always a group portion of it.
Okay.
And an individual. So at the beginning of the course, then I get, it's more group, gives them a little bit of cushion, you know, mm-hmm. especially it'll take a few days to realize, oh, she's not going to lecture.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, no, formal lectures. I will go over a lot of things, mini lectures, but the formal, oh, I'm going to be talking for, you know, an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're able to get with the program. I dropped the lowest quiz. There are no makeup quizzes.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do have a group of optional quizzes. And so basically by doing the optional quizzes, so those I've made banks on, and they are by the chapters and making, and they're timed. So, and basically by making a B or higher, so 80% or higher on those quizzes, then they can replace their two lowest in-class quizzes.
Okay.
That gives them a little bit of a cushion. And when they replace the two in-class quizzes, it's not like I'm dropping two quizzes. I'm replacing it with two 100%.
Okay.
So usually there's 15 quizzes. 13 to 15 quizzes. They do all of them. I replace their two lowest quizzes, in-class quizzes, with those 100%. And it sounds like you're giving a lot of points, but when they take those optional quizzes, I do have some tough questions. So they have to make at least 80% or higher on those for it to
count. Okay. So it's not. Yeah, that's so I'm intrigued. And there's been a question here about that in their 16-week format courses, students are spending 2.5 hours outside of each hour of class, you know, to do work. And you're talking about kind of using this modified flipped classroom where so I kind of have a 2-part question here. One is, how much time are students spending outside of your class doing work? And the second part of that is, how do you prepare? Like, I think this is a different way, right? Students, you said, takes them a couple of days. Oh, she's not going to spend 90 minutes lecturing or whatever. Wouldn't that be terrible? So what, not that I couldn't listen to you for hours, Bobby, but like, really, I mean, who would absorb? So how do you explain to students, okay, this is going to be the rhythm of our class, and this is how you're going to be successful in this class, you're going to need to do blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's basically, you know, I have a handout that I give them. It just lays it completely out, what they're being assessed on, the format of everything. So there's no surprises.
Okay.
I've been in classes myself that, you know, they fail to mention like a key thing. And I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't know about this.
Right.
And there are no surprises. And so I make this as smooth as possible. The videos that I have for the lecture that they would watch have been trimmed down to, you know, this is the most important. If they don't want to watch a 15-minute video, then, you know, absolutely you can go and just read it in the book. But most of them, they're watching the videos.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found with a lot of my students is they'll come early and they'll sit as a group and they watch the videos. You know, because I'll open up the lab early, that they can come in and look at models. They can go and go through the videos. And that way afterwards, you know, when we start, they can ask questions about the video that they didn't understand. I don't know if I answered
your question. I think you answered. So how much time would you say students are going to, are spending outside of, because Virginia's question is kind of like, how, you know, is this requiring an extra amount of time? Now, I do think we have to shift our minds and remember, if you're in a 7-week format, you're probably taking, what, 2 classes? Like, it's not...
At most, yeah.
Right, at most. So it's...
Making more than that, yeah.
Yeah. So how much time do students spend, yeah, outside the class? Doing?
Typically, I would, you know, it's hard to say, but the way that I cover it, I try that they are watching maybe 3 to, you know, 3 or 4 videos you know, a night.
Mm-hmm.
Each video is about 10 minutes to 15 minutes long, just to keep up with it. And then most of the activities that we do and the assessments that we do, and we put in, practice in class, mm-hmm. those would be in class.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the students, that's pretty adequate. They do need to watch the videos outside of class,
mm-hmm.
or right before class. A lot of them will do it that way.
Yeah, and then I'm sure that they're doing some sort of, hopefully, we want them to review, right?
Yep.
So we're going to go home, watch the video, review your notes.
Mm-hmm.
We've just done.
A lot of them, they say they will play that on their cell phone,
mm-hmm.
and listen to it
yeah.
while they're driving in traffic.
Right.
Like, okay.
Right.
I need you to be careful.
Right. Don't take the notes. Don't write down while you're driving in the traffic, but listen to it. I love that, Bobby.
They do a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I never even thought about, listening while I'm driving. And I'm like, okay, that
mm-hmm. makes sense. Well, and I think that's a really nice tie-in. Don't worry, we're going to get back to these questions, but that have been posed to us in the chat, but about the idea of engagement and retention. So, you've done this format now for 3 years, I think. And so you really do have some results to show for it. And, I love the story about, because we all know that teaching is a powerful learning tool, right? If I can divide up and go into these different groups, and if I can help guide my fellow classmates to the answers, then clearly I know the information, right? So wonderful review tool. But yeah, what are you seeing as far as the success with your students in this format?
Well, the 15-week, the average success rate is about 65%. And this is AMP2, so it's okay. Much lower with AMP1.
Mm.
With my, and I did this for 2 years, and then I got the department head position, so I couldn't do this anymore. I had a 92% pass rates. And also looking at the withdrawal rates,
mm-hmm.
On the 15-week, it was 9%. My withdrawal rates were 2%.
Wow.
So I think they just, and they're retaining that information. It's constantly being reviewed going, and it is scaffold. So things that they are learning, and that's the great thing about AMP2, in my opinion, is that everything is scaffolds on there. And so they're the first information that they get, they're going to be using that again.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like this big cycle. I love it when I pointed out towards the end what we're learning with the urinaries. Guess what? You just did that in the first lab here. It's just like, and they're thinking, yeah, right. I can do this.
Right. It all kind of comes together.
Yes.
Is Chattanooga, are you all doing this in other classes? Like, now I'm curious about what would the power be like of taking a math class, right? In a 7-week format where every day we're touching that math versus I do it, I take a day off, I do a little bit more.
Oh yeah. And see, that's a great thing about the 7-week is that you really don't have any time to just take off or whatever. That was actually the first semester that I taught that was one of the complaints from a student is that mm-hmm. sometimes I just don't want to come to class.
Right. Your faculty members feel the same way, but we do it. You can do it.
It's
love that.
Yeah. I can't speak with the math, but there are some math classes that are 7 week. We have a lot of 7 weeks classes as well as 15 weeks at Chattanooga State.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't speak on their success rates. I can only speak on AMP2.
Sure.
And it works so well with the 7 weeks, because you're constantly reviewing back over the information and using that past information to build on the new information. And you just don't have any time to really forget anything, because it comes back as a cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's fun. I have to say, AMP2 is much more fun than AMP1.
Well, I'm not sure I've ever really wanted to take anatomy and physiology, just to be truthful, Bobby. Like, I was a history major, but your enthusiasm for it, I'm like, ooh, I wonder. We'll just all sign up for your online class. And so I want to get back to a couple of these questions here. Donna followed up again about grading components. So she's saying 75% exams, 15% quizzes. Do you mind sharing what's the other 10%?
We use McGraw-Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do have, we do the smart book with the McGraw-Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And those were vetted by actually one of my colleagues, Dr. Mobley, and she made sure that everything, all those questions, I mean, she went in and actually as a student and made sure there wasn't any questions that were beyond the scope of what we were going over.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they go into great detail and then it confuses the students and it's like, oh, do I have to know that? No. That's a little bit too much in detail. So we trimmed out quite a bit before we even started this, because I felt like we were teaching a mile wide, but only an inch thick. So there were things that we cut out to kind of tighten up the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
That really has helped a great deal. And in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
help with, you know, telling the students, yes, you don't have to know about this. This is the important thing. And mm-hmm. so all of the lecture videos, I actually made those for the online course and just used it for the mm-hmm. 7 week. Those were all tight as well. So what we are teaching in the 7 week is exactly what we're teaching in the 15 week, which is exactly what we're teaching in the online.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important, that there's that consistency across format type. Yes. And I think there's going to be some increased scrutiny of that, maybe potentially with some of the stuff coming out of the Department of Education in the last week. So we also had a question from Lynn. So we've talked about, like, you know, that this has been clearly a lot of work on your part, but also a very positive outcome for the students. Any recommendations for maybe things that faculty should not do in a 7 week course? Like here are some, you've shared what worked, anything that you're like, maybe try to avoid doing the following.
Over lecturing. Kind of avoid that. We had a lot of students that are coming off a third shift. You start lecturing, they fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
They're so tired. They need to have something that's active. So I tried to make, I did mini lectures. I would also lecture, like, for instance, after I give an assessment, I can immediately look at the quiz and say, you know, they need a little bit of information about this. And so everything, I know it sounds like you're doing it on the fly, but I've been doing this for 20 years, so it's really not on the fly. And what I want is to correct the misinformation that they've had or the misconception and just, clarify it and go back over it. As far as what else not to do? Yeah, everybody has different ways of doing it. Everybody has different ways of assessing. We are in the process of changing starting this summer, all of our courses in AMP are now 24 student cohorts.
Okay.
So they're lecture lab, they're all taught in the lab room. And we already have some brand new teachers that are doing it as a flipped classroom, and they're using high technology where I was using kind of low technology and with great success. It's great to see them trying all these new techniques and like ZipGrade and that sort, but the thing is that you really need to have that immediate feedback for those students. Know what's the misconceptions right now, because 7 weeks go like crazy.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I would imagine that, I'm thinking I teach in an 8-week format. And that constant, you have to be kind of mentally prepared, I think, as the faculty member, that the communication flow is very fast paced, and does require a lot of time. And that's not a bad thing. That's what you're there for, but it is a different pace to it, I think, versus when I spread a course over a 16-week semester.
But we meet 4 days a week, 2.5 hours a day. So they get, it's very intense every week. And I do as much scaffolding as possible, building on past and reviewing back. And so we're building and building and building. And the majority of the students do very well. They like that sense of belonging in their group. It's just the ability that a student who's stuck in traffic can text their group and say, hey, I'm stuck. And then I can just, let's just do a review until that person comes.
Right.
That person is part of the classroom.
Right. Right.
Really fosters that sense of belonging. Yeah. You matter.
Right. Yes.
It's just, you're not here and we're not going to go ahead without you.
Right. Right. That you're an integral part. We're all in this together.
Yes.
Yes. And we're all going to get through it together. I've had a lot of success with like accountability partnerships, even in my FYE course. And I find that, and that very much is what you're doing too. It's a lot harder. It's like exercise, right? It's a lot harder when you're like, oh, do I really want to go to the gym today? You're like, oh, but I really like the people in that group class. I've got to go, right? Do I really want to go to A&P today? Well, but I can't let my team down. So
your team texting you saying, where are you?
Right. We miss you. We need you.
We need you.
So one good question. Donna's asked if your event would be willing, maybe outside of this, to share maybe course objectives or a list of what students need to know. I know in our state system, it's a common set of course objectives across our system. But then also, how do you manage course load? Like how many courses do you teach? So you teach 3 courses in a 7-week format?
So, our course load was 3 lectures, 3 labs. And now that they're kind of combined, It's three lecture labs.
Okay.
And it's very intense. And by week six, you're like, okay, not only do you have to motivate your students, you're going to have to motivate yourself because you're just getting. And we have a week break in between the 7 weeks. You have to have that.
Mm-hmm.
Just mentally got to have some downtime. And so do the students.
Mm-hmm.
It's very intense, exhausting, I guess you could say, but very satisfying when you see how well that they do.
Right.
I arranged that AMP 2 course that the easiest stuff is at the end. So,
just when you're all tired, right?
Exactly. So for them, you know, reproductive is the easiest. We don't have all of the details. And then a lot of the information, like about the hormones, they've already had. So a lot of it is just repeating. And then development is very, you know, cut down. And then genetics is just very straightforward, school level genetics. And that's what is on their last unit. And it works out very well.
I like that the scaffolding, but then at the end, we're doing the downhill recovery. We're not doing the uphill sprint. And that's probably as anybody's thinking about making this transition. So I can't believe this. We only have 3 or 4 minutes left, Bobby, didn't it go? It always goes by so fast, but any advice you might have, right? As you're saying, so course design, think about ending on the downhill. Other thoughts or recommendations for us?
You have to be organized.
Mm-hmm.
Just have everything organized and try and have everything ready to go before you start. Trying to do course development while you're in the course, it's the kiss of death.
Right.
And then just believe in it, because they will, if you don't believe in it, they'll pick up on that and then they won't believe it will work. I knew from the beginning it could work.
Mm-hmm.
I knew. And I kept pushing them, and towards halfway through, then they were like, I think I could do this.
Mm-hmm.
And, especially like after the second big exams, like, oh, I think I can make this.
Right, right. Yeah, I think about the number of students we have who don't finish.
Yes.
And that feeling of, oh, in seven, look, I've accomplished something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and that, and I'm all the research shows, right?
Yeah.
Once we get, there's, that helps to compel students to continue to move forward.
Yeah.
I love
people
that.
People always say, well, you know, they're not remembering everything. You know, they need to have more time to assimilate. And what I found with my 15 weeks, and I asked my 15 weeks, and I was blunt. And I said, you just be blunt back to me. I want to know the truth. It says, how much time do you actually start going over things? And they say, oh, right before class. You know, you have a whole week in between classes and you're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I appreciate your honesty.
Right. And that's not that retention of information, because you're not touching it as much as you should.
This is why in my 7 weeks, it is always a cycle. I'm always reviewing back over it. And so we're building on previous information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Well, any final words of wisdom for us, Bobby? I love this. So believe in it. This is clearly working. Be prepared, which I think is always wise. Wise advice. But I'm also finding this cohort model. I'm going to be so interested to hear, now that you've made that transition, how that goes for your students.
I did have from our AMP2, I had students that came from a cohort AMP1. And it was a kind of a trial thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were wonderful. They knew the routine. It was like they just, and they automatically sat together and they were talking to each other and let's do this. And we're going to divide up the work. And and it's just like, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this, it works. It mm-hmm. works very well. And they like the support system and that feeling that they're not in it by themselves.
Right.
So
I think that's so important.
Yes.
So important. Well, thank you, Bobby, for everything you shared with us today. I feel really inspired. I mean, I'm, like I said, I never envisioned myself. Anatomy and physiology has just always come across as a class that's incredibly challenging and kind of scary, right? And now I'm like, well, maybe in my spare time someday, I'm going to dive into that. We all need to know this information. Let's reality. It's all about our bodies, right?
Yes.
We all have one of those. So, but would love to come and take a class with you and just so appreciate everything you've shared with us. I feel like, you know, this is a conversation, as I've mentioned, I know a lot of us in the community college system are looking at Amarillo. I think Ivy Tech is another one that's gone to the 7-week format, and lots of questions about how would this work and will it be okay? And you just offer a lot of reassurance. It's a really challenging course that it can be done and can be done with quite a lot of success. So, and you're still standing.
Yes.
So sign. Question, can we have permission to contact Bobby with questions? If you're comfortable with that, Bobby, we'll put your email, we'll make sure the email's out there. Don't forget to fill out our survey there, folks. It does help us to shape content to make sure that we're addressing the things that that you all have questions about, higher education, or if you've got a recommendation for somebody that you feel like would be a great speaker, we would love to have them come on. So this is always a lot of fun. It's the best part of my month when I get to talk with wonderful folks like Bobby from around our nation about what's happening with things in higher education. So Bobby's been kind enough to, Melissa's asking, Bobby, is it okay to share your Chattanooga State
Sure.
email? Okay.
Absolutely.
Great. So we will. But so Melissa's put that in the chat for everybody. So I look forward to these continued conversations. I think this is the best part of our work, right? Is when we get to collaborate with one another and make such a difference in our students and their success. So, well, Bobby, I hope you have a great end to the summer semester and a moment to breathe deeply before the fall begins.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I appreciate so much your time today and coming on with us. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. Hope there's time for rest and renewal in your weekend. That's so important. And take care. Thanks, Bobby.
Friday Five Live is brought to you by Innovative Educators. Innovative Educators offers 6 online services for your onboarding support and training needs. Visit us at innovativeeducators.org to see how we can support your student success initiatives.